Of course, these podcasts are sponsored by Yak Attack, yakattack.us. Yak Attack is the leader in the kayak fishing industry who specializes in kayak fishing rigging solutions. As kayak anglers themselves, they are tightly integrated into the kayak fishing community and are acutely aware of what the sport needs. It all starts off with gear track and or the mighty mount. The gear track comes in all different sizes and colors, and the screw ball that attaches to it connects everything to your boat. What that is a variety of rod holders and camera mounts for your still cameras and your GoPros. You have light poles with the day flags that folds into the flags, fish finder mounts, and your black pack crate system. All of Yak Attack's products are made in the USA. A few years ago, Yak Attack set the gold standard in kayak visibility with the Visi Carbon Pro. Fast forward to today, and it remains the most dependable light flag combination in the industry. The 48-inch deployed height against the flag and the light up where it can be seen. The 14-inch collapse length lets it stow away when it's not in use. The high visibility flag doubles as a pouch, making it easy to pack away in the store. The expected lamp life of 10,000 plus hours on the ultra bright high efficient LEDs and at least 100 hours from the three AA batteries that are included. The carbon fiber mass is strong and lightweight, and the narrow profile offers low wind drag. The soft foam keeps it afloat, and it fits into most rod holders. Available in an array of mounting options that fits just about all boats and popular mounts, don't compromise with safety. Depend on what tens of thousands of other paddlers trust. There is only one Visi Carbon Pro. These podcasts are also sponsored by my DVDs at kayakkevin.com. The Kayak Fishing Chesapeake Bay series and the Bay Tour DVD. The kayak fishing DVDs are broken up into a trilogy. Number one is the intro into our fishery, which has a full year's worth of footage for more of the larger fish targets in the lower Chesapeake Bay. The instructional sequels are broken up into two parts, the warm water and the cold water species. Number two is the warm water species with detailed instruction on the rigs and the fishery itself, spanning from the red drum at the shoals, flounder in the summer, and the summer structure species around the bridge, and sight casting the red drum and striper. Number three is the cold water species with detailed instructions and how-to of the fisheries of the winter targets, tautog and the eastern shore striper fishery. The Chesapeake Bay Tour DVD is a 6-week, 600-mile tour I did around in 2010 around the Chesapeake Bay, filmed in kind of a Survivor Man style, showing everything I do and look for when I'm on a long-distance tour. All of these DVDs are available at kayakkevin.com. My DVDs at kayakkevin.com and Yak Attack at yakattack.us. What's up, y'all? This is podcast number 63. It is August 6th, 2015, and this is the Florida Tour Part 6, and this is the top of Florida. I'm finishing up Florida. This is the last few days or a few pages in my map book on Florida. Last podcast, Florida podcast, I was just leaving the Daytona Beach. So at this point, I'm working my way out of the mangroves. So I'm leaving the mangroves now and getting into marsh grass. And it's in. And this is all canal, intercoastal canal stuff. And as I'm heading north, this is just real canals. And at one point in there, I couldn't find it. I was trying to do some research for this. There's two parts of the intercoastal where they had to blast through rock to get through it. And I think it was in this area of Flagler Beach. The other one is behind Myrtle Beach in South Carolina, where they had to blast through it. As you're going through, it's a small little canyon, and you can see where they drilled out and put the dynamite in and blasted them out. And I think that was in this area, but I can't find it on here, and I just tried to research it on Google, and I couldn't find anything, so I'm not exactly sure. I didn't write it down, but I think it was in this area. As I'm going through here, it's just all canals, and the tides are starting to get bigger. If you know anything about the East Coast, in Georgia, what is called the Georgia Bight from St. Augustine to Charleston, South Carolina is a real, you know, deep part of the coastline. When you look at it right here, the coastline digs in. The continental shelf is way out here. You can see, yeah, here's Georgia coastline right here. Here's Charleston, and here is the top of Florida right here. So this whole area, and then look at the continental shelf here. So when the tide pushes in, it's got a long way to go. So there's 11-foot tides in this area. And I'm starting to move into that here as I'm moving north into Flagler Beach, and especially as I get into St. Augustine. It's really starting to get like that now. And before I get there, paddle through here, and this area is Manitaz. It's hard to say it. Whatever. It's an awesome inlet. There it is again. Fuck. Matanzas Inlet. And you know, I'm coming in behind here in this area. And when I get around here, all this blue water's coming in from the ocean. Really blue water, really pretty water. And look at this thing here. This huge mound is a spoil island. It's one huge spoil island. I guess it's from this inlet, because look at this inlet. This thing looks like it fills in pretty good. That looks like that's completely shoaled out here. Completely shoaled out here. So this is like a tough inlet. They got to keep dredging it, and this is where the spoil goes. And I camped out right on the corner of this thing. The thing is monstrous. This thing is huge. So I have it on the angle. Try to see if you can see it on the angle. But what it is a huge bowl, right? So you have... Why is it fucking taking so long? It's a huge bowl. All right. I'm changing this into aerials because I'm going to make it a lot simpler. All right. So right here is the drain. If you look at it, it's hard to see it on here, but if right here's the drain, it's a gate where it's gated off. So they dump the spoil on this side, and all the water and any kind of moisture kind of drains out and comes through here and then comes out. So this thing's a 30 feet high, you know, multi layers. So there, it's a lot of sand going in there, and I camped out right on this corner right here, this beach right there. Just pulled up and camped right there. And now this area is starting to get, as I'm going to Georgia, now I've done Georgia before this tour, so I knew what to expect and knew what I was coming up to, is the currents, is those giant tides. So when, as I'm moving through this area, I need to pay attention to what I call the convergence zones. I can show you, where you have two inlets. I'm just going to pick an island here in Georgia. Just going to explain this. I'm not going to talk about Georgia, but I'm just going to explain it to you. Pick a... All right. This will be easy because it's a small one. It's kind of easy to see. But this is Jekyll Island. So, at some... fuck. I'm going to do another. I'm going to do this one. Maybe a little easier. So, you have an inlet on the south end of an island, inlet on the north end, right? And you have the intercoastal waterway that goes through the behind it, with the natural marshes and rivers in the back. So when you have an incoming current, you have it's going to come in both sides, right? It's going to meet up somewhere in the middle, and that's what I call the convergence zone. So both of these currents are going to meet up. So what I'm trying to do is time it. So I want to be here, if the high tide is at noon, I want to be there at noon, or wherever the convergence zone is going to be. So I would guess it to be in this area right here, so I know I want to be in this area about that time. So I would time it in, take the incoming to here, and then get the high tide, and then take the outgoing to here. So I would do an island hop convergence zone jump. So I'm starting to have to do this now in Florida, and I'm in intercoastal where there's not a lot of channels, or not a lot of inlets. So I have, like, you know, a couple inlets here and there, but it's a lot of water getting pushed through these small channels or through the intercoastal waterway. So I had to start working these convergence zones. And what was weird is, you know, you kind of think, okay, it's going to be right here. This one was pretty short. I have it written down on my map that it was pretty short. It's like, as soon as I got going, I got hit with the current. And then this was outgoing. You would think it would be coming in this far, but no, this current more pushes this way. It stops right here because St. Augustine current comes through here and pushes up against this area because it feeds this bay instead of this. I would think it would be somewhere the opposite. So when I'm paddling, I hit this area and it was a miscalculation of where that convergence zone was. So it kind of fucked me for a little while until the current changed. I believe I had a little bit of a tailwind. No, I even had a fucking face wind, and that would made it even more of a pain in the ass. But once the current turned around, I was able to ride it again and made it a lot better, a lot easier. And is this where the fort is? And St. Augustine was really cool. This is the tile at this is on my website. This is the tile at Daytona, but St. Augustine was cool. Paddled right by the fort, and that was a kind of nice feel as I paddled by there. And I think that is where it is, right here. Yeah, there it is. So I passed through here, and there's some cool ships. A ton of boats everywhere. But here's the fort. And that was really cool to see by the water, because I just was able to paddle right next to this thing. And actually, that is that. That's the northeast corner. And this is where I was paddling through here. So that was cool to see from the water. And I started having, you know, this is a big, big area. So lots of current going through here. And so I landed right here at this restaurant right here. And it was lunchtime. I just stopped on the beach and came in the restaurant, and I had two rum and cokes, because I looked on my map and my chart or my map, and there was a campground right here. Yeah, there's a campground right here. So I knew I could stop there and do my marina stop. You know, sometimes campgrounds cool because I can do, you know, get a place to chill out. But when I stop at the restaurant and talk to these guys, Jesse and Vince. They're fishing good old boys, as they explain themselves, as they describe themselves, and they kind of gave me the scoop of what was fishing around the area. So it wasn't, you know, there's no snook, of course, because that's all in the mangroves. Tarpon here and there. They had some tarpon in the area, so you got scarce tarpon. And then I basically was just hanging out waiting for the current to change so I could just take that little bit of current in to get to there. I mean, I was only right here, just had to get to there. So my day was ended pretty much. So I landed and walk up, get a campground, all the stuff, and you know, ask them if I could leave my boat on right there at the marina or whatever. So, like, that next day or something, I guess nobody told the chick down at the bait store, and she was giving me all kinds of shit, telling me I gotta move my boat and this and that, and really giving me a lot of, like, just mean, just being mean. And I just moved it, and the guy around, you know, they had sympathy on me and let me park my boat somewhere else just for that day while I got finished and got out of there. But it was just crazy because it was like just such a like hostile. What she said, I need to get a grip. I just paddle 1,000 miles, you know, and I need to get a grip. So that was kind of funny. And so the next day, I took that current in, and that's a good current through here because the next inlet is pretty far up, and this was a lot of boring paddling. You know, this is all. I mean, it's cool inside here, it's cool for a little bit, but it gets pretty boring after all day of it. Just marsh, a lot of good fishing back through that area, but I had the current and I had to get to where I was going to get going at the end of this day so the current wouldn't turn around on me and didn't stop me, and then I'll be scrambling trying to find a campsite for the night. So that next day, what I was trying to do was what I was trying to do is get into this area here, and I was looking for maybe these creek edges would have a little beach or something like that, so I could set up before I had to, because I knew that current was going to turn around me and start hitting me coming in. I knew I wasn't going to make this, so it didn't look like a lot of campgrounds or camping spots around here, so I was looking for an inside marsh. I get right up here, and this is Atlantic Beach, Jacksonville Beach, just south of Jacksonville Beach. And right at that dock, yeah, this one, right in here, there was a guy on his dock, and I was looking around, and he was telling me about these tarpon that were up in this creek right here. But it was getting late in the day, and asked him if there's any beaches or anything like that close by. He said no, but he invited me to camp on his yard and have dinner with him. So his name was Colonel Dixon, I believe it was Army, and I had dinner with his wife and daughter-in-law, and I remember she was talking about Wedding Crashers just came out, and she was talking about that. So that was later on I saw it, and it just reminded me of that day on in Colonel Dixon's back porch eating dinner with him. He let me camp right there on his yard. Next morning, you know, said goodbye to me, and I headed out and stopped at a marina store here. I think the next bridge up, yeah, somewhere in here, I think there was, and just got some more jigs or more lures. I think I got a spinny inline spinner for some reds. You know, asking local knowledge and what they use for reds and what fish around this area. So I was, you know, spinner blades and stuff like that for reds, because the water's a little bit murky in this area because of the tidal and the currents, tidal heights and the currents. And also got one of the hot spot maps, which kind of gives fishing areas, which was pretty cool. And so when I started moving, I had that outgoing current, and it was ripping through here. I mean, I think right around here at this bridge, it was like rapids. I mean, it was cutting, it had channeled through and was dropping down so far. It was actually like a 1 foot drop right at that spot. So I have an outgoing current now, and I'm getting to St. John's. I have to get over here, and I'm coming out of here. So I have the intercoastal goes through here. I'm trying to get out of here. If I get pulled into here, pretty much stuck. I don't have to go on the outside, which wouldn't be that bad. It looks pretty cool. Well, it does not look anything like what I thought that was going to look like. Huh. All right, so got an outgoing current. St. John's River's outgoing currents are ripping through there, too. There's a lot of water moving through here. I paddle up here, and by the time I hit here, I've got current against me. And so I just carve the shoreline. And so I'm not trying to jump right across, because look, there's an industrial plant right here. I can't, you know, it's probably not going to be a good idea for me to get real close to this. So I'm trying to get from here, I'm creeping along this side against this current, and I come all the way over to this side over here, almost to here, before I make my turn and make my cut around. Because, you know, if anything, I want to overshoot it this way and come in, because the current's going to hit me, and if I miss it and overshoot it, I'm in trouble in all in this area. So I have a lot of current dealing with this to go around. So I hit here and make my river crossing, and make it right into here, and it's still outgoing, but it's you know, I'm cruising against it, just pushing against it for a while. And let's see, when does it change on me? About halfway up, it changes on me, and I do have the incoming again. And I only have and this was really cool, because I was spooking reds all through this area, just north of Jacksonville Beach. So coming through here, so I was starting to see a lot of reds, making some casts. I think I might have caught one around this area. I can't remember if I caught one or not. I don't think I did. I think I was just trying to get to the next spot, which all these spoil islands were fine, but I was trying to get to some open beach. And so make it through here, and this is Amelia Island. This is Amelia Island. This is right at the top. So this is Amelia Island through here. Yeah, reds. And I cut through here, through this area here, and come across this bridge. And on my map, this bridge, there was two bridges here. So, my map only showing this bridge, and this is the new bridge that went across here. And this is actually a pier now. Guys were fishing off of. So, I come through here, and I got a little confused, but no big deal. And I cruise across this, and I come out here, and I land out here and hang out here. It looks like there's people fishing right there. Yeah. Really cool area. You can see shoals and all this sand out here, and it's really, beautiful beach. And I camp out right there, and that evening there was a lot of guys fishing off of this point, and they had to walk by me to they're out there all, right at the evening. As I'm setting up camp, they're already out there. I'm about here, and they're out here, and one of them's walking by me, and I'm still up, and I ask them what they were catching. They said they were catching some pretty nice trout, speckled trout, right in here. So right on this point right here, they were catching some trout. I didn't mess with it, but that was kind of cool to see. So that next day, I take the incoming in. Convergence zone's about right around here. Then the out, right about here, right around where the bridge is. And then take the outgoing to Fernanda Beach in Fort Clinch State Park, which on my way down, this is where me and my mom stopped, and I camped out here and met the Ziegler's. They were the camp hosts, and so I met them and told them I was going to be back. And so it was really cool to see them. Fort Clinch, it's actually a fort. Really cool fort. I think it's one of those really old fort. I think it's one of the oldest mound forts, fortified mound forts. But this, the campground's here. This is all the campground here. Yeah. So I landed right here. Here it is. Here's where I landed, and here's where I camped about here. So it was an awesome spot, and this is where I hung out for a couple of days, or I think 2 days here. And I landed, and it was 11 weeks and 2 days in Florida. 11 weeks and 2 days. And that was kind of, it kind of hit me, because, it's a bittersweet thing when you get done with I'm still not done, I'm still got another 1,000 miles to go. Pretty much. But I'm done with the Florida section. So that was, from this point north, I have already been there. I've already done a tour in this area. So I had just left the area that I haven't been before. And I remember just sitting there on this bench right here and just looking south and just reflecting on everything I've been through and everything I'd seen in the waters that I had been on, all of it. And, I had pretty much it just ingested and felt, I had paddled all of Florida, the entire coast of Florida. And so right there alone, and I'm still not done with this tour yet. Now I had, I feel really relieved, but then also sad that I'm done with that part, because I just spent so much time in that state, but 11 weeks and 2 days. The Ziegler's, they gave great hospitality, gave me dinner and all that stuff. Went into town and rented a bike and did all my chores. I think I ate a sub. And I brought like half my sub back and at my tent. Just as soon as I put my sub down, a raccoon comes and snakes it. So that was kind of crazy, like a little last little bit of Florida. But I hung out here, and I remember talking to my mom, and she just said, "How you feel?" It was like just sobering. I remember not saying that. That's just what it was. It was like, wow, I'm done with it. And I would look south and just reflect on Florida, and then look north and almost miss Florida already. And that was, that's what I wrote down in my journal. So that was kind of funny that, you know, here I am at the end of it, but I already miss it. And I hang here for a couple of days, and Fort Clinch is really cool. And they have some huge flounder in this area. I was at the Ranger Park, right? And the guy was talking to me. Are you from Virginia? I got some good flounders. Yeah, we got some good flounder. We got monster. You know, we got good doormats. It's not as big as down here. I was like, oh yeah, you know, kind of like, oh yeah, my area is better. And then, you know, says, well, you know what the trick is? He said, the secret bait. He said, put a squid strip with a minnow on it. I said, we do that shit at home. And they drifted in that area. But then he showed me what their flounder are. And they do have monster flounder, huge flounder. Bigger flounder than ours, hands down. I saw what he was talking about. I was like, oh, okay, never mind, because he was showing me some pictures, and totally, yeah, that, right off of these points right here. But the thing is, I mean, for kayak, it's current's crazy. So, you know, I would have to spend a day just working that current and you know, rather than going. But, you know, that mantle wasn't the best comfortable to thing to fish out of, and I was getting ready to go into Georgia, which, you know, I had to. Basically, I had to wait here for about 2 days to get that tide right, because all of Georgia, I'm going to end this now. I'm not going to go any further than this, because it's going to be a short podcast just to finish out Florida, and then I'm going to start new with the whole Georgia bite section, from Georgia to Charleston, South Carolina. That'll be the next podcast, but next Florida tour podcast. But, you know, I have to island jump, so I have to have the tides right to be able to do it, and do it enough time, because there's also not a lot of marina stops in Georgia. There's some spots where they're like through here, it's a couple days of nothing, and it's a big environment. It's huge, huge tides. You know, St. Catharines, there's nothing out here, absolutely nothing out here. I have to go inland a full day to do it. I had to do it at my first tour. I almost ran out of water. So I had to go inland to rewater and take a whole day to do that. So this time I was trying not to do that, and I was just trying to make it through, because it's all the way to Charleston is crazy currents. All this is crazy currents. So until I get here, I'm in 10-foot tides. So I'm resting up and waiting for the tides to go right, because I'm going to have that high tide in the middle of the day. So I'm trying to, even if it's early morning, I still have, you know, we're not early morning, but, you know, anywhere between 9 and 3, that gives me a tail end of the currents to get to the next part of the island, the north end of the island for the outgoings. But I was there the right week and was able to do it, didn't have to wait too long. I would stay at that camp, I would stay set up for a week if it took that long for it to turn around. If it was if I got there in a week that it was a low tide in the middle of the day, I'd wait, because you can't fuck with these tides. You can't paddle against them. The only way to do it is work with them. Josh Tart went on the outside and you gotta pick your days for that. And there are shoals out there too. I mean, it's like the Eastern Shore. I wouldn't paddle the outside of the Eastern Shore across some shoals. I mean, them shoals sometimes extend a couple miles out, and I'm sure these do too. You know, well, that's got a jetty on it, but you can't really see it that well. But yeah, look at this. I mean, these shoals right here. I can get a good view. Yeah, see, out here. I mean, there's shoals way out there. So, you know, it's a dangerous area to do that. It's just safer being on the inside. And with the current, it's easy to do. So that's what I was trying to set up for. So, yeah, it was 11 weeks and 2 days in Florida, and it was like I said, that bittersweet thing of everything I've been through. And you know, one thing I think I said was I really felt focused, like really super focused, and it just always on it. You know, this is 11 weeks on tour already, and I'm still got 800 miles to go, and you know, I just felt good. I felt in shape. I felt good. I put up my Florida flag right at the end. When I hit Fort Clinch State Park, it was at the end of Florida, and my Florida flag went up. So from here on out, I flew the Florida flag and the Virginia flag the Virginia flag on top and then the Florida flag. And I added the states as I went. But that was the Florida tour, the Florida section of the Florida tour. And next time it'll be the Georgia one. So thanks for listening. Thanks to the podcast sponsors, Yak Attack at yakattack.us. And check out my DVDs at kayakkevin.com. Later.